been divided up into four distinct sections. And each section asked a question. Number one to three, why are the nations revolting? Number two, four to six, how will the Lord be responding? And three, verses 7 to 9, what is the Lord revealing? And then fourthly, applying it to ourselves, what is God today requiring? 10 to 12. Why are the nations conspiring? Or as the King James Version puts it, raving. This word comes certain times, about 10 times in the Old Testament. It's the Hebrew word sapa, which means raving out of control, like some great tornado, which they have in America, and wind whips up and takes houses soaring into the air and setting buildings on fire. Why do the nations rave? And here we have what we call a sensational problem. Men and women whipped up in their attitude. Now, of course, Dr. William MacDonald, in the Believer's Commentary, believes this will apply more to the millennium period, when Gentile nations will be against the Lord Christ. But I think it can apply to every generation. So why are people politically, morally, and emotionally whipped up? Then he goes on to say, look, and we must go quickly through this. I could go on for 5 hours for this passage of scripture. There's a lot in it, but we're whipping through. And the people plot in vain. Or as the King James Version puts it, why do they imagine things? Their imagination is out of control. Why do they do these kind of things? And Dr. James Strong points out that this word, imagine, the Hebrew word shirat, occurs only 10 times in the Old Testament and always comes to the stubbornness of man's heart and the wickedness of man's character. The Living Translation puts it this way. Why do the people waste time on futile plans? Dr. David Stern's translation of the whole Jerusalem Bible puts it this way. Why are the people gambling in vain? And my mother's Bible, when she came back to the Lord, in the index, it had these words. Why do the people get irritated? It can apply today, can't it? Why does Mohammed Yama of Iran and Kim Jong of Northern Korea, why did he want to penetrate to the world with mass weapons? Why do the people imagine vain things? And then he talked about direct confrontation. He says this. He says, and the rulers band themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, why is it Christians all over the world are being persecuted? You only had to pick up a Barnabas magazine or to pick up a magazine from open doors. And you see people being tortured just because they're Christians. Why do the people do these things? They're against the Lord and his anointing. They're against Christ. And it's strange that on that Palm Sunday, people were gathered together, casting palm trees, saying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." A week later, the same people were saying, "Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us." They're still against the Lord Christ. Well, and that is the first section. Why are the people revolting? But let's look at the next section. How will the Lord be responding? Well, we're reminded in verse 4, the one is enthroned in heaven will laugh. Now this isn't a laugh of humor. This is a laugh of folly. Pure man, who does he think he is? The Lord laughs at their folly. Man's utter foolishness and his rejection of the Lord. And the Lord scoffed at them. And here we have the Lord in his great power. What would he do? He would terrify them in his wrath, saying, yes, he terrified people. But what is he going to terrify them with? I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Three things I want to bring out here. Note that the Lord Jesus is king. The Jews put him upon a cross and the Romans. This is Jesus, king of the Jews. But he's the king of the world. He's a king of all those who put their faith and trust in Christ. They come into his kingdom. You see, a man or woman outside of Christ is under Satan's kingdom, the god of his world who has blinded men's eyes. But the kingdom that God wants us to belong to is the kingdom of Christ. So he is a king. But I want you to notice on Mount Zion, originally, Zion was in Lebanon. It was a great, tremendous hill. It could be seen miles and miles away. So Christ is not only a king in his majesty, he's someone in his glory. He could be seen, the great I am. You know what else happened in Lebanon was this. On Mount Lebanon grew cedar trees. Huge trees. Something about these trees, they never perish. Their timber was always in durability. Christ's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And he will reign forever and forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. So what will the Lord do? He laughs at them. He could have wiped them out right away. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein the love he had loved us, He provided a way of escape through the Lord Jesus. What does the Lord want us to be reflecting? Verses 7 to 9. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. What is that decree? That's the scriptures, the commands, the authority of God's word. He will proclaim that. You know, we're living in a day. What happened in 1930s, and I was just a bit of land. What happened in the 1930s to the churches, liberalism came in, walked into the scriptures and said that the word of God is not inspired. That sort of thing is coming back again. I read an article by Stephen Chalk. He says, he's co-founder of the one of the Spring Harvest, he not belong to it now. He said, the Bible isn't the inspired word of God, it's just a word of God. How dare we? How dare we don't base our firm beliefs on the word of God? We can't trust the Bible, the scriptures. What can we trust? The second thing he says is this: you are my son, all the Father's appreciation of his son. Twice the heavens opened, once at his baptism. The dove came down and rested above him, and a voice came out of heaven while John the Baptist was about to baptize him. This is my beloved son. You remember on the Mount Transfiguration, Jesus had the two companies of Moses and Elias. Peter, not knowing what he was saying, let's build three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. They vanished out of sight. And a dove came down from heaven, and the voice came again. This is my beloved son, hear ye him, learn from him. And we need to learn from this one who is God's beloved son. Today I have become a father. These words are cited in Acts chapter 13, 29-39, speaking about the resurrection of Christ. We don't worship a dead Savior. We worship exalted, glorified Lord. He's given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. Says, look at this. I will make the nation your inheritance. Bible societies tell us that by the year 2032, every nation, every people will have the scriptures in their mother tongue. So rapidly is the name of Jesus being spread abroad. Across radio, television, internet, the word of God, the name of Jesus, will be exalted. And the end of the earth for your possession. China is exploding with Christianity in spite of persecution. Isaac Watts was right. He says in his hymn, his kingdom shall reign from shore to shore when moon and sun shall wax no more. His name will get the preeminence and will get the glory. And then he says this, you will break them with a rod of iron. He will rule. He is in control. We're looking at it today and we think of the drug problems and sin problems and moral problems. He's in control. And then he says this, kiss the Son. And he said, I will break them with a rod of iron and you will dash them to pieces like pottery. We have seen kingdom come and kingdom go. I was brought up in a military family. And May the 13th, I think it was, as being brought up in a military family, I had to go out on sport day, all military children did. It was Empire Day. I have seen the British Empire gone. Oman Empire's gone. The Roman Empire's gone. But his empire will never, never be broken. And then he says this, the final thing we've got to look at. What is God saying to us today? He's saying this in verse 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. What a message for Britain today. David Cameron, you need to listen to this. Nicolet, you need to listen to this. Ed Miliband, you need to listen to this. The bills that they pass through Parliament is against the Ten Commandments, against God's order. Listen, be warned. It had consequences. And we have seen empires and nations split up. This could happen to Britain because we don't listen to warnings. Serve the Lord with fear. That word serve in Hebrew has two meanings, and as well as in the Greek. It means to worship. Worship that doesn't lead to service is fruitless. And service that doesn't have any worship is worthless. They both go together. Serve the Lord with fear. We need to fear the holy and righteous God. And celebrate his rule with trembling. And then he says this for repentance. Kiss the Son or he will be angry. Of course, the Old Testament had a much more complex fear than we have. Thank God, love casts us out fear. But there is a sense which every unbelieving person should be fearful of God. They need to repent. They need to turn from their sins. They need to turn to Christ. And your ways will lead to destruction. For his wrath flares up in a moment. But oh, I thank God for these words. Blessed are all those who take refuge in him. When my wife and I were married, we went to the Arthur Silly because we were silly people who married on April Fool's Day. But anyhow, we went to the Arthur Silly. On Agnes Island, there was a wonderful picture, they've removed it now, but it was a wonderful picture of Bishop Rock Lighthouse. And you could see the tremendous storm. But between the picture and the wave was a dove who had found a way into the rock, a hole. And underneath these words, safe, abiding in the rock. Thank God, our salvation is safe through the Lord Jesus. He's done all that is possible at the cross. You see, this psalm makes much of Christ. I want to close with this illustration, what it means to make much of Christ. In 1944, we had a terrific air raid. And I was blasted out of bed, and windows were shattered. A bomb, they think it was a flying bomb, but a basket bomb, dropped off Mrs. Bowman's house along the road here. Several tanks were blown up, German tanks. And this tin hut that was there then was absolutely gutted inside. Everything is all gone, except for two things, a pedal organ, and the pulpit stood firm. Behind the pulpit was a text that was still there, and it had these words on: make much of Christ. I never forget my mother coming round with us boys. Mr. Fitwell took us round, and he looked at this poster. Mr. Pitwell said these words: we haven't got much else left of this church, but we make much of Christ. I've never forgotten those words. Make much of Christ. This is what this psalm is all about: making much of Christ. We only exist in Ducker Road for one particular thing: make much. Can we sing our last hymn together? And it's hymn number 41. And we'll go straight into the communion afterwards. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue confessing, King of Glory now. Hymn number 41.